Joining us now from the NFL Network, their Do Everything guy, Adam Rank, here on the Gwynn and Chris show. And Adam, great to have you with us. Let's start with something a little different. I know it's Patriots. I know it's Rams. Who's going to score the most fantasy points in this game this weekend?
You know what? I bet it's going to be James White, especially if you're playing in a PPR format, because I think of the way the Patriots are going to have to attack the Rams. They're going to try to keep Aaron Donald at bay, and you really can't do it by blocking him because he's just seemingly impossible. But I think what we're going to see is the Patriots empty the backfield a lot and then try to get the ball out quickly, which means a lot of dump-offs. Not dump-offs, but I think that James White's going to end up being the most targeted guy in that game, and that would be the safest pick for me.
You know, Adam, you take a look at this Rams defense, and, I mean, they got a lot of talented players, but they haven't always played real well this year. In fact, they've, I think, at times been very underwhelming, and you just kind of wonder, do they have that one really big, huge game in them? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we see that a lot. Anytime there's one of those super teams that are constructed out of a number of different parts, and it happens in other sports as well, like the first time LeBron went to Miami, it took him a little bit of time. They lost that first finals game or first finals series for them to really start to gel together. And I think that when you bring in a lot of big-time personalities like Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and Ndamukong Suh, it might take them a little bit of time to start gelling together and kind of become a cohesive unit. It's just what happens in sports. But I think you're spot on, Coach. I think that this team has the ability to go out and have that one great performance. And I look at a guy like Talib, and how instrumental he's been in other championship runs for other teams, in particular the Denver Broncos a couple of years ago. And really, there was a time when he played for the Patriots, and he was really good for them too, but unfortunately had some injuries that kind of cost him and kind of cost the Patriots. So I do believe that the sum of the parts is going to come together, and I think they just need to be good enough for this one game to let their offense go out and do what they do, and I've got a lot of confidence in them.
Adam Rank is with us, NFL Network, breaking down Super Bowl 53. And, well, let's stick with the Rams on defense and the Patriots on offense. And you talked about James White. Isn't it kind of funny that here we are coming up on the Super Bowl and all of a sudden now the Patriots are favored, and all of a sudden they're the team that most people think are going to win the game, when for so much of this season – everybody wanted to bury the Patriots. You know, they lost five games, so we gave up on them five times. And every time we gave up on them, they bounced back. They haven't lost since the miracle play in Miami. And had they not lost that game, they would have hosted the AFC Championship. I just find it interesting that this is supposed to be a poor Patriots team, yet nobody expects them to do anything else but come away with another Super Bowl.
And it's astonishing to me, too, because you look at the situation that these teams are in. I think a lot of people are being dismissive of the Rams because Sean McVay is so young and they're inexperienced, and Jared Goff could no way in his wildest imagination match Tom Brady. It's impossible. We've never seen this before, except that we saw it last year. This is exactly what – I mean, last year, Doug Peterson, you know, not a first-time head, but like first-time head coach, very young in his head coaching career. You had Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, and they went out and they beat the Patriots. So it's not like it's unheard of. Like, everybody acts like it's such a fait accompli, and the Rams stand no chance in this game, and it's baffling to me. And really, the thing that's most telling to me is that the Patriots were being blown out 28-3 by the Falcons. We all know how that game ended with the huge rally by the Patriots, but Sean McVay comes from that Kyle Shanahan bloodline. You know, he's from that coaching tree. So I look at this it drives me crazy. It's like, how did the Patriots go from being the lovable, like, they became the lovable underdogs again, and now people think that they're just going to win going away? And it's surprising to me. I really do. I'm baffled by it. I guess people, because they were doubting the Patriots, they feel so bad about it, they have to go the other way. And I think there's probably a lot of reverse jinxing going on, that people are like, well, like, they'll be happy to be wrong. You know, it's like one of those things, like, I just want to be wrong about this, so I'm just going to say that the Patriots are going to win and be pleasantly surprised. As they say, what, an optimist can never be pleasantly surprised, and I think maybe that's the way a lot of people are thinking.
You know, Adam, I've been thinking all week long, what are the Rams going to get out of Todd Gurley? They certainly didn't get anything out of him in the NFC Championship game. He only had 10 rushing yards. He dropped those two passes. He spent the bulk of the game over there on the sidelines, and McVay's saying he's healthy, but is he really healthy?
Coach, it's a long con. They're setting him up. It's a Willis Reed type of thing. Like, oh, no, Todd Gurley, what are we going to get out of him? And all of a sudden he comes out and he rushes for 230 yards against the Patriots and everybody's surprised. I don't think that there's anything nefarious like that going on, but I think that McVay made a bold call of going with a guy, going with the hot hand and going with somebody who's got a little bit of a fresh leg situation going on. It's interesting because these running backs, in particular, they get beat up over the course of a season. And when you get a guy – and C.J. Anderson's a very talented player who probably shouldn't have been sitting on his couch for most of the season, but a very talented guy to come in behind a quality offensive line on a great offense. And here's a guy, it's like if you're out at a party. Let's say you're out in Vegas, you know, and you've been hanging out. You guys got there in the afternoon, and it's close to midnight, and you're like, you know what, I think it's time for me to turn in. And your buddies just show up who are just getting there, like, yeah, let's go, and they want to do the all-nighter. That's what it's like for C.J. Anderson. Like, he just got to the party. He's ready to go. He's ordering Jaeger bombs for everybody, and he wants to get it done. So I think that's what's been happening. And smartly, you know, sometimes, and this is one of the things I love about Sean McVay, and Belichick does this as well, is, like, he doesn't care what the name says on the jersey. The best player that gives you the best opportunity to win is going to be the guy in the ball game. So I think that's why these guys have been so successful.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Belichick doesn't care who gets it done. I mean, as long as they put the thing up on the board. All right, so Belichick is the genius, and you brought it up. They played Atlanta a few years ago, Matt Ryan's in his first Super Bowl, and all of a sudden the genius is down 28-3. Then last year he's facing a backup quarterback, Nick Foles, and the genius allows 41 points. But why do I think that the genius is going to figure out something to slow down Jared Goff, where he didn't really get that done in the last two of the three Super Bowls?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's hard because it's been such a high level of consistency. And I think that's one of the things why people are so upset with the Patriots, that you're in a situation, you're in a sport that prides itself on parity of teams being good one year, bad the next. Everybody's 9-7. Everybody's in the playoff run until the last 3 or 4 weeks. And then there's the Patriots, who go to the playoffs every year, go to the AFC Championship game every year. They've been to the last three Super Bowls. They've won one of them. They've won a couple of Super Bowls. And it's annoying. And it's hard not to think that at some point Belichick is going to figure this out and Belichick's going to do something that kind of teaches the young guy. But you know what? I don't know. I want to believe that way, too. And I love Belichick, and I love this franchise and what they've been able to accomplish and everything like that. But it comes down to one game. And I think that in this one game that Sean McVay, given 2 weeks, is actually the guy who's going to be able to kind of turn it around. And he's going to be the one who's going to be able to go over. I know Doug Peterson did it last year, but I think this is a situation where this could be a true passing of the torch, because it looks like this Rams team is set up for a long series of success. So this could be a true, like, end of the dynasty, passing the torch type thing. So that's kind of where I'm leaning, even though Belichick is a genius, and I understand where you're coming from.
Adam, when you take a look at the 53-man roster, I mean, I go back to New England playing the Chargers. I think the Chargers had, from top to bottom, a better overall roster. Kansas City, probably a better overall roster. And I think, personally, the Rams probably have a better 53-man roster. When you break the two rosters down top to bottom, what ball club you think has more talent?
Obviously, I believe the Rams. And if Cooper Kupp was playing, I think this would even be an even bigger runaway for the Rams. But you look at what they've been able to do and the talent that they've acquired. I think the Rams have done a really nice job with their drafts over the last couple of years. Remember when Aaron Donald was selected a couple of years ago, the Rams really didn't need a defensive lineman. And Donald was slated to go 14th to the Bears, and it was just kind of one of those things, and the Rams were drafting right in front of him and grabbed him when they really didn't have a need. And when they drafted Todd Gurley with the 10th overall selection a couple of years later, they didn't necessarily have a need at running back, but they grabbed the best guy. And they've done a really nice job of acquiring talent and finding all these nice pieces. And, of course, this year they went for broke and brought in Talib and Marcus Peters and Sue, and they're ready to go for it because their offense is ready to win the Super Bowl. And so you look at these rosters, and obviously there's a lot, like as you said, the Chargers, Chiefs, the Rams, more talented rosters. But I think the one thing that's unique about Bill Belichick is that while his teams might not be the most talented, he's got them set up for certain roles in certain situations. And I kind of equate it to the way a baseball team puts together their bullpen, where you have like the lefty specialist and you have your long guy and you have your short guy. And that's kind of the way they do it. You look at their running back situation. Now they got Sony Michel. He excels in between the 20s. They get near the goal line. Here comes Rex Burkhead. They want to throw the ball out of the backfield. Well, all three guys can catch the ball out of the backfield, but I think James White is an exceptional talent. So when you look at it, you know, it's kind of like when you walk into Blaze Pizza and you see all these ingredients, you're like, I don't know how this is going to work, but he does the best job. I'm sorry if they're not one of your sponsors, but they do the best job of putting it all together. And it's not on the menu, you know, it's kind of a secret menu, and he's got the key to it. So that's been probably the most amazing thing of why this team's been able to be so successful, is he finds the right guys for the right spots.
Adam Rank, NFL Network, great stuff, fun stuff. It's tough, you know, after 2 weeks of Super Bowl talk to come up with anything new. I'm going to just try to throw this crazy thing at you. Could this be the first Super Bowl that ends up having to be replayed because of a bad call by an official? We came close in the NFC Championship game. What's to say it won't happen in the Super Bowl?
Well, I think at some point in the game, at the end of the game, the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden, the Saints team is going to be coming down from the stands, and the Saints are going to jump on the field and challenge the Rams right there, right now. We play for the Lombardi. You guys robbed, like, let's go full WWE. Like, you guys robbed us of this opportunity. We're challenging you right here, right now, and then Goodell will come down and be like, nope, you guys will fight at WrestleMania, and then we'll do something like that, but it could be. Hey, it could definitely be something silly.
Adam, last question. You think it's going to be high scoring, or you think it's going to be a low scoring game?
Well, the way the Patriots have been in the last couple of Super Bowls, it's a low scoring affair in the first half. They usually don't come out of the gate hot, although they did against Kansas City, but they usually don't come out of the gate hot, so it's a little bit under the expected point total in the first half, and then it gets going in the second half. And I kind of expect it to play out that way. We'll have a low-scoring first half, and then right there about mid-third quarter into the fourth quarter, they're going to start just firing all their shots, you know, going back and forth, and it'll end up being a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be exciting like the last couple of Super Bowls have been, and so I'm really looking forward to it. And by the way, Coach, I know that I'm here. I don't get a lot of opportunity to talk to you, so I thought we were going to talk a little Corona baseball. That's my alma mater. I know you're the coach, man. Look at our squad last year was very young, and I think this year, you know, we're reloaded, we're looking good. But I just had to throw that in. But
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Coach will use that in his high school show.
He should. By the way, he should. And I don't know. I always hate. I don't hate to do this, but I want to give a shout out because the coach has been amazing. I love that show. And I love giving the glory to the high school kids, guys who aren't going to go out and play in the Super Bowl or the World Series or anything like that. But you give those young men and women an opportunity to get a little bit of a spotlight. And I don't think enough people give you enough recognition for that, because I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you, Adam. I very much appreciate that. And once upon a time, you were a guy that was helping me.
Yeah, you know what? I was running around the Inland Empire. Oh, you know what? It was I remember one time I saw Chris Burgess when he was at Woodbridge High School, who ended up going to play Duke. I don't know if he was playing Cherokee Parks or not, but I remember Chris Burgess was the big draw, and it was a big deal, and I was like super nervous to call into the show and give my little report. But you know what? Humble beginnings, and we're all in a good spot now, so I do appreciate you giving a young man a chance to do that.
I think that's where we started, calling in scores to the coach. Everybody got their start in the business that way. Hey, Adam, enjoy the game Sunday, and we'll chat with you afterwards, see how it all turns out. Appreciate your time as always. Great stuff.
Hey, thank you so much. The pleasure was all on this side of the phone.